The Morning Stream is powered by you, the listener, over at patreon.com/TMS. Consider contributing today. Didn't really free that bird, did he? Coming up on TMS, sleep deleting can be fun.
It's 1984 again.
Fire that guy.
My alien abduction.
Wrong way, Larry.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It is later than you think.
What?
This is The Morning Stream. The hell you say?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for, Thursday, January 26th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. This is our last day of shows, this and the PM edition, before... Oh, no, that's not true. Monday, I take that all back. Monday will still be a show where we are not back on Twitch, because it's not until 11 a.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
That the lift happens, and that means Tuesday and forward we're back to normal. My timeout is over at that point.
Go sit in timeout and think about what you did.
A little bit. I have been. And weirdly I've sort of appreciated it. So it's all coming back Monday. So get ready for that, I suppose. We got stuff, man. It's a show today. It's two shows today, actually. So there's a lot to talk about, a lot to do, and we're really happy to be here, and we're happy you're here with us listening at home or live or wherever you're doing it. Keep on doing it. We really appreciate it.
For sure.
Here's the deal. I deleted Hulu. Now, you might say to yourself, well, Scott, I thought you liked that service, and why would you delete Hulu? And
well, you, for a while, you didn't like it because of the whole, like, you're watching on too many screens, or here's ads, and you paid for the non-ad version or something.
Yeah, remember that? That was the worst.
That's right. It was thinking that you were using an ad blocker, but you weren't.
But
right?
I weren't. That was the deal? I was even using, at the time, a browser that doesn't even support ad blocker plugins, and it still said I was using an ad blocker. But those days have gone because they added a service where I could get commercial-free access to the service, and I've loved it since. And here, what might surprise you, beep, 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 is that I still love it. Now, and I still think the price is right, and it's all good. And you'd say, well, Scott, then why did you delete Hulu? I don't blame you for asking that question. I would ask the same question.
Well, let me ask it.
Okay, go.
Scott.
Yeah.
Why did you delete Hulu? that's actually more appropriate than I even realized.
Yeah, because Seinfeld's
on Hulu.
Yeah, you can only get it there too, which is interesting. All right, I deleted Hulu without even knowing it, and here's the funny bit. So Kim reports that during the night, the TV came on and off multiple times throughout the night. Now for that, the television in our room, and now for that to happen, it requires you to either turn on the TV manually with either its own remote or get up and push the button, or there's a third way. The current model Apple TV will wake your TV up if it's the right kind of TV.
Right.
It's an HDMI feature. So
it's really nice, actually.
It is. It's great, except for the case I'm about to describe. So the remote, as you know, is kind of terrible.
The Apple remote?
Yeah, by that I just mean there's a sensitivity to that thing that is outrageous. Like,
well,
you can blow on it,
top,
right?
The entire top third of it is a trackpad, basically.
Yeah.
So 9 times out of 10, when you're picking this thing up, your hand brushes against that, pushes it down like it's a button.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't mean to watch that episode of The House of Cards.
Yep. I mean, I appreciate it for what it wants to be. I just think it's like a first attempt at a really great idea, but it's just too sensitive. Like, you can blow, you can sneeze, achoo, and suddenly you're on 3 channels over, right? Like, it's just a sensitive little piece of electronics, and it drives me crazy. So usually when we play something or watch something, we hit play, and then we set it off somewhere where nobody can touch it. Because if you do, it's going to jack up our viewing experience. So, Kim tells me, hey, the TV kept coming on and then going off and then coming on all night. Do you know what's up with that? I'm like, I don't know. And then this morning she goes, Hulu's gone. And I said, what? Yeah, the whole app is missing. Like, it's not on the screen anymore. Brian, I had rolled okay.
So wait, you deleted it from your Apple TV. We're not even talking about your iPad or anything. You deleted it from your Apple
just
TV.
Just from the Apple TV. So what had happened is the remote had slipped down in the bed somewhere where it shouldn't have been, and I had fallen asleep on it. And in my night of tossing, turning, moving, whatever, it got pushed a number of times in the right sequence at some point to to highlight the app, to press to make it now a thing that's wiggling to delete.
Right.
The other press that's required to delete it, and then a confirmation press to say, yes, I'm sure I want to delete this app from this Apple TV. And I did that in my sleep, not with my hands. It may have even been like a butt cheek or something for all I know. But all I know is this morning, no Hulu on the TV there.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's annoying as hell because now, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I can download it and put my password in and off we go. But that shouldn't be possible.
Right, right.
I shouldn't be allowed to bodily change channels, to turn on TVs, or to delete apps from the TV.
I don't know. I mean, the same thing could happen if you had a VCR and you fell asleep on the remote. You could have accidentally recorded an episode of Sally, Jesse, Raphael at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I guess so.
So
It's like butt dialing, kind of. You can call people by accident, even on a touch screen.
Can I make a recommendation?
Please.
They have these things in motels where it's like a mounted to the side to the side table remote stand that you just cannot remove the remote from. Uh-huh. So maybe you need one of those. So
okay.
You just
have to all right.
So a couple real recommendations. Number one, we've got a Harmony remote system. We've got one of the newer Harmony remotes here.
Yeah, it's a Logitech deal now, right? Don't they own them?
It is. Yeah. It is. We freaking love it. Mm. Number one, it syncs up with Amazon Echo. So in our living room, we just say her name, turn on the television, and it turns on the television. When we're closing down for the night, we say her name.
Yeah.
Alex. A.
But how is she, how is Alex A knowing how to turn, I mean, what is it, where is it connected to the TV? Is it via the
No, the new Harmony remote comes with a little hub that you can put somewhere in your living room that you say, all right, here's my PlayStation, here's my Apple TV, here's my Roku, here's my Fire TV, and then the regular TiVo and television. And it sends the signals. It says, oh, you know, so all we, again, you know, if we want to switch from one thing to another, we don't have to scramble for a remote. We use one remote. We use the Harmony remote for everything.
Yeah.
And we say, Alex A, turn on the PlayStation. And it automatically turns off the TiVo stuff and turns on the PlayStation and fires everything up.
Oh, my
gosh. And
then
we still use the same remote for everything.
That's so cool.
And you use your, you can use your iPhone as a remote. So, you know, you've got one remote maybe over by where you sit, or one remote over by where the kid sits, mm-hmm. or kids sit, or where Kim sits, or whatever. And if someone gets up to go to the bathroom, you can stall. Here, I'll pause it for you, whatever.
Okay, so this is the Harmony Hub then, the Harmony Home Hub?
The Harmony Hub.
Okay, Harmony Hub.
Now keep an eye on Deals Moto, because those go on sale every once in a while. You shouldn't pay more than like $150, $175 for it.
Oh yeah, here it is. The Harmony Companion all-in-one remote control for smart home and entertainment devices works with Alexa. It shows a hub, a remote, and then there's an app for your phone.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Now,
I feel like I might want to do that.
Totally. We love ours. Now, I don't know if you want to use it. Do you have a dot in your bedroom?
No, I need a dot. I guess.
Okay. Well, now we're starting to get a little expensive here. But the other recommendation, and I need to do this as well, and I've been thinking about doing this, but I want to download and 3D print. I probably even could design one that's even better than the ones that are available online, but mm-hmm. 3D print a case, so to speak, mm-hmm. for the Apple TV remote. That number one makes it not so slippery and makes it so that there's a little grippy edge on the thing mm-hmm. that I can hold on to and not accidentally hit the top button or swipe or whatever. Just make it a little bit, give it a little bit more meat on its bones.
Right, right.
Because it's a little too thin and easy to, well, easy to lose between a pair of butt cheeks, really.
Oh, I need to get
as you've discovered.
I need to get, this is cool stuff. Look at you, you're way ahead of me in the home automation world, man. I feel like an idiot. Yeah. I feel like a slow old man.
We have Alex A, we have the Hue lights as well. So we just tell Alex A to, like, and this is the way we get around saying that word. We just tell Alex A to turn on the lights, turn off the lights. I mean, we're living on the Enterprise, Scott.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Hue's price? Are they too expensive? Like,
it's expensive. Wait until you see those go on sale too. Those and the Harmony remotes go on sale a lot. Mm. And again, never pay full price for those.
Is anyone else doing smart bulbs that would just be as good?
I don't know if they make them that are, I think Hue might be the only one that's compatible with the Echo.
Oh, here you go. So TP-Link smart LED light bulb. Oh, they're expensive as hell though. Flux, they all say Alexa workables, but they're all expensive. So nobody's doing like a cheap version of any of this.
Right. Right.
Bastards. All right. I've had fun looking at Amazon while the chat room watched. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Hey, you know, it's, you've done it to me.
Yeah. So honestly, this is a wake up call, like literally, because it woke him up every time I pushed the button. But this is a wake up call for me to like get going with that stuff. Because right now I'm just the old fat. I got like four remotes. They all do different shit. Like, why am I living in 1988? What's going on here?
Right.
I need to get up to the times. And I'm gonna. That's my next goal. All right. 2017, the year I make contact. It's gonna be great.
Eblaze just put a link in the chat room to a Griffin. It's a Griffin dog. No, it's a Griffin cover for your Siri remote for your Apple TV. Looks like exactly what I'd want to 3D print, and even better. Oh, good Lord. Comes with a wrist strap like your old Wii remote.
Look at that. Yeah, it looks like a Wii.
I'm not using that dumb thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
So everything else about this I really like.
There's a black version. I'd probably get that so it doesn't look so goofy. Yeah. $19.99. That's a little pricey. You know,
for a little remote condom,
a little condom for your remote
remote condom.
I'm not sure this would have solved my problem. Maybe it would have.
No,
I feel like my big butt still sitting on it would have caused it to push buttons and things. I don't know. That thing is a booger, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of it, but the execution's a little off there. Tim Cook, go back and make a version 2, which I'm sure they're doing and will cost copious amounts of money.
Right.
Another check-in with Brian and the sleeping habits of the Ibbots, given all the complicated things going on with pneumonia and flus and trying to get in for cancer treatments and everything else. So what's the update?
Oh, yeah. The hits just keep on coming.
Yeah.
So Tina's pneumonia, she's been on antibiotics now for a couple days. So we think we're out of the woods as far as the pneumonia. But now she, for the entire night last night, nonstop coughing fit.
Oh, no. She's at that stage.
When I say nonstop, it's like, you know, it was a constant, poor Tina. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm ticked off.
No, of course not.
That she was coughing all night. She was worried about them. I'm like, no, you're fine. You know, let's just figure out, let's try this. And we were trying things all night. Tried the humidifier, tried, she's got a little pillow thing that you put in the microwave and it heats up. It's filled with
The beans, or not the beans,
beans, or I think it's like not huckleberry, what's the
I know what you're talking about. I've had this before.
Yeah. I want to say it's like filled with grape nuts or something, but it's not grape nuts. It's what is it? Buckwheat. Thank you. Buckwheat is what I was trying to
think. Nothing I like better in the morning than a pillow full of buckwheat and grape nuts.
Yeah. Right. We tried that around her neck a little bit. I said, well, move it up and just, you know, cover your face and push it as hard as you can over your nose and mouth for a little while. Let's see if that solves the coughing issue.
Oh, man.
She didn't think that was as funny as
No, not as you, not at 2 a.m. anyway. Oh, so right. You know what you should try? And I don't know why this worked for me. And again, I don't actually believe in it, but somehow it worked for me. So maybe it was just psychosomatic or something. But people always say, wrap your feet in garlic and you'll stop coughing.
Shut up.
No, I know that sounds, it sounds garlic? Like the stupidest, most gypsy thing anyone ever told you. I get
wrapped
that.
Wrapped in garlic.
But my wife was, when I had, I guess it was like 08 or something. I can't remember the last time I had like really bad, like 14-day fever flu, awful, right? And I think it was right around then. Can't remember exactly.
What kind of WebMD?
And I couldn't, I could not stop coughing all night, racking cough, awful, right? Kim, in her desperation, had heard from some friend that if you wrapped your foot in garlic, and she has this big thing of cooking garlic that's not, it's like a paste almost, but it's pure garlic, like ground down, kind of wet, pasty garlic.
Like a mustard plaster, but more like a garlic plaster.
Nailed basically. It. Yep, exactly yep. it. And it's great on, you know, she'll put it on roasts and things like that. But in this case, my feet were the roast. So she goes
we're
in there
and cough suppressant.
She puts this stuff, slathers big thick swaths of it on my feet.
Puts the garlic on its skin,
and it reeked. I mean, it was really. It smelled like smelled like when you hear your family. It was real bad. So it was. She's wiping it all over, and then she wrapped my feet literally in plastic. Wrapped them in plastic so to like seal them off. Some kind of tape, like surgical tape. That white tape you sometimes have in your first aid kit.
Medical tape.
So it doesn't tear your skin off or whatever. Wrapped it around the tops of it. So now I have two sealed leg footies full of garlic. And I slept like a baby after that.
That's
I don't know. It's entirely possible, because I'm as big a skeptic as you'll ever find about these things, but it's entirely possible that just the smell alone could be clearing the cough. Like vapors or whatever.
The fact that it's on your feet might just be for distance as opposed to like that it's absorbed by the soles of your feet.
Right. Now, like, the thinking is that
the cough central.
Yeah. The thinking or the idea behind it is that you are, in fact, absorbing this somehow. And is there something to do with your feet? Are connected to, I forget how it went. I looked this up and I still look at it and go, whatever, dude. That is hokum.
Fish oil or whatever, snake oil.
Total fish oil. But I am telling you, for three nights in a row, so the next two nights we did it again, just on on purpose. Those three nights, no coughing, no up all night, nothing. And and when I stopped doing it, started coughing again. So I don't have any idea why that worked.
Interesting. The chat room is also talking about Vicks on the feet. So maybe there's something to that the feet are some sort of highway to cough land or something like that, right? That, whatever you put on your feet affects, let's see.
Snopes says it's unproven.
Right. They can't.
I mean, look, I want everyone listening to me right now to understand this. I think it sounds ridiculous.
Right.
But it somehow did it. And if it was just psychosomatic or just a placebo effect, fine. I just know it worked.
Right.
I don't care how it worked. It was just one of those like flus that was just making everybody miserable. And I woke up to it. I woke up kind of half fever. And there's a woman at the edge of my bed wiping garlic on the bottom of my feet. And I'm like, what is going on? And it smelled so bad. And Kim's like, it's okay. I heard this works and we need to do something. So it worked.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We'll try it, at this point. Because last night, it was rough going in and she was doing her noises again. So it was like, and then at the 4 in the morning, she started having just an uncontrollable coughing fit. And I said, you don't have to go in the other room. I'll go in the other room. And she's like, no, you need your sleep. And so I feel so bad for her that she.
So the Ambien's still doing its thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. And then waking up on Ambien is probably a groggy nightmare.
Yeah, totally.
You know, because that's when you're supposed to, that's the whole point of that stuff is to keep you asleep. And when you wake up in the middle of it, it's kind of like, what's it like? It's like, I know what it's like. You're eating spaghetti.
Okay.
And somebody walks up and smacks you in the face with a rotten fish. That's no way to eat spaghetti. You were eating spaghetti. You should
be
able to.
Your analogies never fail to entertain the crap out of me.
Maybe tonight I'll put some garlic on this and see if it'll go away.
At least on the spaghetti.
No kidding. All right.
Then you eat the spaghetti.
Well, I hope that continues to improve, or I guess not get worse. And the other bummer is a cough means, even just normal situation, when you cough a lot, you're hurting lots of muscles.
Right.
You're getting headaches from that.
And she's already achy from, just from everything that's happened before, so...
Yeah, the scans and the Oh, Lord, dude. I feel really bad. Well, listen, you know what, everybody? Let's get in my van. We're going to Colorado. We're just going to, I don't know, we need to kumbaya over there and have a nice time or something. You know what it's going
to
be.
You mind keep an eye on Tina? I'm going to go to Vegas for a couple of weeks.
We'll see you in Vegas. Yep, no problem.
Yes, somebody come over and take care of Tina while I just disappear.
You need a few days. You know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. This is going to be the greatest thing at Nerdtacular. She is going to be treated like the queen.
Oh, I know.
She's going to be Queen Elizabeth II for a whole weekend.
And her hair, you know, she'll be off chemo for a couple months, so her hair will be back coming in, and she'll probably be like doing the Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh yeah, the salt and pepper Jamie Lee Curtis look. That's what Kim's rocking right now.
Yeah, Kim looks great with her head shape.
It's really weird. It's amazing. Yeah. She thinks she's gonna keep it, so we'll see.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, she kind of likes it. We didn't expect that going in, but she likes it.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of that. Let's dive into some fun things here this morning.
Okay.
That might involve a little bit of this, if I can find it. Here, no, that's not it. Here you go. It's the news, brought to you by
the news. With Frank Emerson, a brand new breaking news program reported by a damned puppet. Get it at youtube.com/Scott Johnson.
Yeah, go check that out. I've been taking one or two stories from TMS's weirdest stories and then having him report them as a puppet guy. And people seem to like them. It was just kind of a throwaway idea, and now I think I might do more. So
When you would inadvertently have to break character because you've made yourself start laughing to the point where
the hard part is remembering that when I'm actually losing it, that I need to also make sure move the puppet. Right.
When you're laughing, you need to move the puppet mouth.
Yeah, the puppet needs to. It's really, you know what? It's given me an appreciation for what it means to puppet things. It's hard.
Sure.
It's not easy. You got to match up this hand motion with your mouth.
Motion.
Anyway, it's fun. Go check it out.
And I'll say this too. You've mastered the thing that I think is really difficult with puppetry, which is making the mouth move when you're making the sound as opposed to the reverse, right? A lot of people will they'll have the words, the mouth closed, beep, 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 you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's hard. I don't know that I've mastered
this correctly.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm getting there. So anyway, it's just for funsies, and maybe it'll turn into something, maybe it won't, but Frank Emerson, he's a hard-hitting reporter, putting out the facts in a time where we could use as many of those as we can. So check him out over there at youtube.com/Scott Johnson. George Orwell in the news.
Mm-hmm.
He's still with us, right? No,
he's not.
He's long dead.
I don't think George Orwell.
He's long dead.
I want to say.
How long has it been? Probably 100 years or something.
1950 is when he passed away.
Okay, like 60 years or something.
Yeah.
70 years. Well, George Orwell.
He was born in 1903. He died at 47. So he potentially could still have been alive. He would have been one of the oldest people on Earth. But
what happened at 47? What did he die from? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. Let me see.
That's a bummer. I don't like that. I mean, I know people died a little younger in the, I don't know, in the 50s.
He had a hard time putting out a fire in his bookcase, ironically.
Fahrenheit 451. Wait, is that the book?
Let's see. How did he die? Death. There we go. Final months and death. Wikipedia. Thank you for having a section on final months and death.
Yeah.
Let's see. Artery burst in his lungs, killing him at the age of 46.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
Yeah, he was. His health had been declining for quite a while. Even when he got married in his hospital room.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he a bigger dude? Like a big chunky dude?
There we go. Tuberculosis was the initial, the start of the ball rolling.
They call that he would have been a lunger in the old West.
Right.
A lunger.
Right.
All right then. Well, here's the deal. His book, 1984, is now the number one best-selling book on Amazon. George Orwell's classic dystopian novel 1984 has suddenly surged at the top of Amazon's bestsellers list. Though first published in 1949, it's back with a vengeance, and George only has the new administration to thank, says this article.
It's gone from being a work of fiction, a classic work of fiction, to a how-to book, how to survive in a dystopian future.
Exactly. You throw a hammer at the face of the German guy, and then suddenly you have a Mac in 1984. That's all I know.
All the references in the new edition, though, all the references to Big Brother have been changed to Bigly Brother. That's interesting.
Oh, interesting. Bigly Brother. Yeah. Well, it's a huge change. It's huge.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, it's been a huge change for them. Let's see. Here are the very... Oh, there's a bunch of stuff here where you can go listen to things. Anyway, you can download Orwell's... You know what? Saying download and Orwell together will make you say download. The 1984 is a free audiobook and two other books of your choice if you go to audible.com. This is not an ad. I'm just telling you, you can do that. And anyway, there you go. His book's back on top. I've never read it. I'm kind of curious if a book... I used to have this feeling that if a book wasn't written within 10 years of when I read it, then it wasn't any good because we just stuff... It's like movies. We just get better at them. But then I got over that and realized that's a dumb philosophy. Mm-hmm. Because I watch all sorts of movies that are, in some cases, ancient, or television shows that were made in the 50s that I can really appreciate now and see them for what they were at the time and also what they mean in today's context. And I think it's fine. So I was an idiot then. Like, as a teenager, I'd have gone, I'm not reading a book that was written in 49.
Right.
What are you, crazy? Right. Like, that's what I would have said.
Same way. Yeah. Like, we'll say, hey, we're going to sit and watch a movie tonight. What year did it come out? Like all of a sudden, his definition of good movies is anything created after he was born.
Yep. That's what I used to do. Yeah. I understand where he's coming from. I think it's wrong-headed, though, and he'll get there on his own. It's fine.
He will. Exactly.
It was wrong-headed for me.
He's getting there slowly but surely. Like when he sees things like Groundhog Day and Ghostbusters and stuff like that, obviously he's like, okay, this is great. This is, you know, this was created long before I was born, so...
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, and speaking of which, my kids, Nick and Carter, have binged through two times now the entire run of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Wow.
And they were both devastated yesterday when they heard about Mary Tyler Moore dying.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they kind of know her now after binging that show twice. That's a huge series. It was on for a long time. And they loved it. And Nick, you know, he wouldn't say it out loud, but he kind of has a little crush on Laura Petrie, I think.
Sure. Who didn't? With her little capri pants and her bob?
Yeah.
Come on now.
And he's only 16. So, you know, it's weird, but it's cool. And
Rob!
I feel bad. But she was 80 and, you know, good long life. Struggled with a lot of health stuff toward the end and was really open about that stuff. And anyway, she'll be missed.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's not in today's news, but I didn't
put it. I am tired of... every news station, though, it feels like the only clip they've ever shown from the Mary Tyler Moore Show is the one where Lou Grant says, "You've got spunk. I hate spunk."
It's always that one, isn't it?
It is. Like seven times I've seen that on different news programs in the last 24 hours.
What do you think that's about? Why do you suppose that's the one they go to every time?
I think it's because it is a classic line. It's like, you know, Archie Bunker and his... Oh, Edith.
Meathead. Meathead.
Or power to the moon, Alice, or something like that. You know,
it's his signature thing, maybe. Yeah. And that's what defined it early on. I still think the most unique thing about that show was him getting his own spinoff called The Lou Grant Show, which was a drama, not a comedy.
Right, yeah.
And that was so unusual. And it was successful. Like, it was a big deal, like made, you know, had its own long run and had its own, you know, Emmy nominations and everything else. When has that ever happened before where they jump from comedy to drama or drama to comedy? I couldn't think
of
anything.
With the same actor. Because Trapper John, you know, came from MASH, which was primarily a comedy. I mean, there were some dramatic moments, obviously, but...
More comedy while Trapper was there, though, right? Like,
for sure. Yeah, exactly. We didn't have any chicken in a baby. Chicken was a baby while Wayne Rogers was on duty.
There was no chicken in the baby yet.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Frasier went from a comedy to a comedy. Munch jumped around from like on five different procedural dramas.
I know they tried with Enos. From
From Dukes.
Yeah, but it didn't work. It sucked. No. It was terrible. It was a bad idea. Yeah. So that went from comedy primarily to primarily drama, and it just didn't work. So I don't know how they pulled that off, but I guess hats off to Mary Tyler Moore and Grant Tinker, who at the time were producing all that stuff.
Better Call Saul, so Art Janier brings up Better Call Saul, which obviously I don't think anybody's arguing that Better Call Saul is a comedy, but it isn't nearly as dark as Breaking Bad was. So there's...
But it's also consistent with Saul, right?
It is, yeah.
Like Saul's role on Breaking Bad is very much a microcosm of what Better Call Saul is as a show.
Yeah.
And so it's a good point. It's maybe the closest we've got. I can't think of anything else, though. Like, literally the Lou Grant thing, though, went from not just a comedy, but a three-camera sitcom where people are, it's filmed before a live studio audience, and they're either inserting laughter or have live laughter. So they're doing a laugh track, in other words. And Lou Grant had no laugh track, had no nothing like that. It was a hard-hitting reporter drama that was in the vein of, like, All the President's Men or whatever. Really, really weird that they pulled that
and
off.
And TV's Egon, when I'm talking about MASH to Trapper John M.D., yeah, well, I do know that was a comedy to drama. We're not saying it has to fit the same formula. I mean, although, there you go.
I guess that's the formula. Sure. But how long did Trapper John M.D. last? Like a minute and a half? Or was it a long run?
Two seasons, maybe, if I remember correctly.
Wasn't very long, I don't think. Yeah. Well, anyway. I'm sure someone at home is going, you guys don't remember when Manimal...
made a guest appearance on Man from Atlantis, and then they were both on Dallas together.
I would, and the thing, and the other switch going drama to comedy, I don't think that's ever been done, has it?
Which one?
Drama to comedy instead of the other way?
No, that would be weird.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Right? You get
can't think of one. I mean, okay, I take that back. Now this is the only circumstance where it works, though.
Uh-huh.
21 Jump Street. But that's a movie, and it's 20 years later, and then they decide to go full parody with it, right?
Oh. So talking about the TV show to the movie.
Yeah, well, that works, but not like a spinoff, right? Like,
right.
Nobody's done...
I'm trying to think of what you could do. Like, you could do Bones, you know, what's his face leaves Bones and then has a sitcom where you follow the adventures, his wacky adventures in a small town as the
I love that idea.
Hugh Laurie limping around.
Oh, not Bones. You mean
the problem is. Oh, House is what House, I mean, not House. Bones. House.
Yeah, yeah, Bones was a garbage show. I hated Bones. I mean, a lot of people like Bones. Don't get me wrong. Oh, you're going to send me emails about Bones now, aren't you, people?
Get emails about Bones. If we do, that's the best thing.
They will. Some people love Bones. My wife loves Bones, so she'll probably email me.
All right, here you go. Here you go. Take a Star Trek Next Generation character and figure out a sitcom that they can move into. Keeping the character. So it'd be going from a sci-fi show.
It'd be Worf, right? Totally Worf.
The Worf show.
Yeah. Worf goes to whatever.
Worf and Mindy.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Oh, Orson is without honor.
He's without honor.
Orson. I will not be calling Orson.
Oh my gosh. You've just described... a thing I want in my life. We live in the YouTube generation. Let's do this. Somebody's got the wherewithal.
Somebody's got to be able to make a Worf and Mindy.
Yeah. I'm making a 4-minute news program with a puppet. You guys can do better. Get on it. All right. Let's see. Let's move on here. Oh, there's been an inaccurate InfoWars report. You know, InfoWars, hold on. I'm trying to find it. Isn't it like a thing, like a organization or something?
I hear about InfoWars. I never really knew exactly what they were specifically. Yeah. So are they like a WikiLeaks kind of thing where they expose information, right?
Yeah, or they are trying to hold people to account or something. I know very little about it, so chat room may know more. But anyway, inaccurate InfoWars report leads to 100,000, excuse me, to sign a petition for Comedy Central to fire a comedian it doesn't already employ. Oh, that's not good. The problem, the New York-based or city-based comedian doesn't and has never worked for...
Oh, this is the Comedy Alex Central. Jones site. Right. Somebody on Twitter, I think, was linking to the Alex Jones InfoWars site. Yes, I totally know what this
is. Okay, so this is him.
I can't stand you, you're idiots!
That's because we didn't know what InfoWars were like.
I like the too.
All right. Sit down, Alex Jones. Easy, buddy.
Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel, but that is right there was one of the best examples of unnecessary censorship ever created.
Yep, no kidding. Wait, Jimmy Kimmel. Who made that? Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel does this thing called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, where they take TV clips from things that happen from news and The Bachelor and SpongeBob SquarePants, and then they bleep stuff out, and it sounds like they're saying way worse things than they're really saying.
Oh, that's interesting, because this came from a listener, not that show, but I wonder if the listener's a fan of that, and that's where he got the idea, maybe.
Well, I think I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I was the one who suggested we need to bleep out after the F and make it sound like he's saying something else.
Oh, you might have, yeah. Somebody named Mike made it, but I don't know who Mike is. Mike. I don't think it's Iceworm. Maybe it's Iceworm.
I like the f*** too!
All right. Freak. Anyway, so here's the deal. Jenny Runyon, a spokesperson for the Comedy Central channel there, confirmed to Business Insider that the comedian Steven Spinola has never been employed by Comedy Central. The controversy started Monday when InfoWars writer Paul Joseph Watson, that's a great name if you're a serial killer later,
right?
A prominent conspiracy theorist, wrongly identified Spinola as the Comedy Central writer in a story about a comedian's tweet. Spokesperson for InfoWars did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In the now-deleted tweets, Spinola joked that Trump's 10-year-old son looks like a very handsome date rapist to be.
Oh, jeez.
In a follow-up post, he doubled down. Spinola told Business Insider he suspected after the Saturday Night Live writer Katie Rich was suspended for a tweet on Trump's youngest child that conservatives went searching for jokes other comedians had made. At the time, his bio said he was a Comedy Central content contributor because the channel had featured some of his work on a show at one point, but they never hired him. They just, something of his got shown there. So they freaked out, didn't do any homework, put out a thing. 100,000 people signed this thing to get him fired from Comedy Central, and he doesn't actually work there. So well done, everybody.
It's...
Well done.
You know, hey, I appreciate comedy like anybody else, but...
You leave that kid alone.
Leave a 10-year-old kid. He had no control over what family he got born into. And
aside from that, he's a 10-year-old kid. We need to afford kids better treatment than this. For heaven's sakes,
freaking... 10-year-old kid who looks like a small 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, he really does. He looks like the kid, a slightly older version of the kid that was in that Room movie.
That
actor.
Jordan Tremblay.
Yeah, that Tremblay kid. But I'll just say, like, even Chelsea Clinton came out and said, leave the kid alone. And I agree with her. Leave him alone. Yeah. Leave presidential kids alone. And some of these same people who are complaining about this were doing the same thing to Obama's kids. Leave them alone, too. Mm-hmm. Leave these kids alone. They're not. It's not their fault they're in presidential families. It's not their fault they're in the spotlight. They're kids.
Right.
Let them have a chance to figure this out on their own. Alex Jones, any comment?
I like the fuck. Two.
All right.
Yeah, the Bush twins, maybe the Bush twins we don't give that same pass to, but...
Well, they caused their own bit of circumstance, I guess, but and they were older or whatever, but...
Exactly,
A 10-year-old, come on. Leave the kid alone. I'm sure that he's fine. I wouldn't want my name to be Barron either. That's a weird name. That's not his fault. He didn't do it. All right. Here's some news for you. Amazing evidence of an alien abduction has finally reached the public.
Oh, good. Finally.
I know. This is a UFO spotter named John Mooner. Hold on a second. I got a drink after I say John Mooner. I wish my name was John Mooner. UFO spotter John Mooner has claimed that his abduction with a gray alien has been caught in a series of satellite images and also that he cannot remember the incident. Mr. Mooner says the... I love that. Says the images which show him trying to punch an alien in the face are amazing evidence of alien abduction, and they left him speechless.
Punch him in the face!
He says I was having trouble with Google Earth, the app, I guess, and that was installed on my computer, so I looked for an online option and found Google Satellite Maps. Well, yeah, it's all the same stuff, dummy. Anyway. I thought to myself, I will view the area where I was UFO spotted from last year and look for anything out of the ordinary. And he was speechless by what he saw.
Wow.
Quote, the satellite had captured a real alien abduction taking place. The shocking thing was that it's me being abducted by a gray alien and the satellite image clearly shows me trying to fight off that alien, by punching it in the face. Look at the image as it appears. The alien has blocked my punch and has grabbed my fist and must be able to subdue me. Now
I can't see a damn thing in these photos.
That's why I'm going to show it to the chat and you guys can see just how inaccurate I believe this guy's description of all of this
what,
is.
How is he saying you can see where the gray alien catches my fist as I'm trying to punch him in the face and counters with a right hook?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Like, look right there, people. The image to the left that I'm showing on screen right now, that's the one he claims. You can see him fighting off an alien.
Oh, yeah, great.
I think that that's worse than Bigfoot sightings. That's terrible.
Totally is. I think the Loch Ness Monster photo is more telling than this photo right here.
Yeah, it's bullcrap. Don't buy it. Don't buy into
it,
everybody.
And that one got bunked.
Yeah, debunked.
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 It was proven to be bunk.
Is bunk to the opposite of debunked? So if I say to you, oh yeah, that'd be right, because you say something's a load of bunk, you mean that it's been bunked.
It's been shown to be bunk.
Okay. So if I bunk something, that's me saying, I heard, don't tell anyone I heard, I told you, but I heard Brian keeps a weasel in his pants. That's bunk. And then
that's
you would
bunk,
say,
and it's been debunked.
Yeah, and Brian will say, well, let me debunk that for you. And he will drop his pants and show everyone that he doesn't have a weasel in there.
Right.
He just has a...
It doesn't make sense, right? Because bunk and debunked, I think it's just two different... I think bunk just probably is just like a... what is it? Onomatopoeia or something like that, where it just should mean that's crap.
Yeah. Or it should be Ermy, whatever his name is, that army guy should be yelling at you because your bunk isn't regulation.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't realize they stack shit that high.
He is the best thing in that movie.
He totally is.
Everything else about it gives me bad dreams. I don't like that movie. I honestly think it was 1987. I was in high school. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that that movie made me ever and forever fear what war was.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know from a logical perspective now, it's kind of like bees. Like, I was fine with bees until that one got caught in my shirt and stung me 8 times and then put the shirt back on and stung me 1 more time before its stinger fell out. Like, I was fine with bees until then. Now I'm not fine with bees. So same thing. I was kind of okay with the heroics of war and people doing brave things in a war until I saw Full Metal Jacket and went...
And Vincent D'Onofrio completely messed you up.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I'm good. I think I'm not wanting to go over there. Right. And I remember when the first Gulf War happened, you and I would have been prime age for a draft.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being terrified at that idea. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, oh, no, not, this is not good. I don't want to go over there. I mean, no. I would have, but...
It's true. Totally true.
You do what you have to do, but I didn't want to. Anyway, it's funny how movies affect you when you're younger and your brain is still forming.
Oh, totally.
Speaking of things still forming, I got a story about a Chinese man. Man has cycled 500 kilometers in the wrong direction to get home. It's a real, it's a real Forrest Gump story, really.
I was going, I was biking.
I was going the wrong way, Jenny. I know what love is. A man hoping to cycle home cross country for Chinese New Year realized 30 days into his trip that he had been traveling in the wrong direction.
Oh,
this is sad. The young migrant worker from China was aiming for his home in Qinghai in the Heilongjiang province. I'm sure it's all right.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. After seeing off Rizhao. What? Oh, setting off from Rizhao over 1,700 kilometers away, but he was stopped by traffic police 500 kilometers off course in the central province of Anhui. When they found out, the police paid for a train ticket to get him home. Well, that was nice. It was nice of those police to do that. The man had set off
We're keeping
the bike. He left in December. Oh, that's true. I wonder if he got to take his bike. Probably not.
Yeah, I'm sure they put it in a storage thing on the train.
Maybe.
They'd have to.
I've been on a Chinese train. It wasn't good.
That's true. It's not Amtrak, is it?
No.
It was taped to the side of the train with...
there was no dining car where I was. Let's just put it that way.
Oh. Okay.
Or toilet right. car, as far as I know. He was determined to make it home, so he chose to cycle the route. That's what he wanted to do. The unmanned name could not read maps, meaning he had to rely on others for directions. Police stopped him when he was riding on the highway, which cannot be used by cyclists. That's against the law. After discovering his mistake, both police and people working at the toll station said he was stopped and contributed to his home ticket. So they all helped out. That was all very nice. But yeah, that's a long ways off course,
well,
that's, man. That's
what you got. You totally have to do that. I mean, you can't just say, oh, well, you're off course. That's the direction you want to go. See ya. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody would chip in and say, let's help this poor guy
out. Yeah, that is some Janeway off course, though. You know,
that's some major. Yeah, it's a good.
You're in like the Delta quadrant or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
500 kilometers is. I mean, yeah, it's nuts.
How much is so 500 kilometers off course? He actually traveled 1,700 total. Mm-hmm. That's like me riding.
I also don't know if it's exactly in the opposite direction because it could be, you know, like 3 points of a triangle where he started, where he was trying to go, and where he ended up.
Let's see.
So it might not. He might not be 2,200 kilometers away from where he wants to be.
That is one house. So for the U.S. Imperial folks and anyone else using miles still, I guess U.K. or Europe or Britain is still using these. That is 1,056 miles, 331 inches. No, me. I guess for yards or what? With the 0.31, I used to be just 0.331. Whatever.
Yeah.
You can see why we should probably move to
metric. 0.3. Well, you're saying miles, right? So yeah. 0.3 miles.
Yeah,
so.
0.3 miles. So this is 1,056.3 miles. That's a long freaking way. Like you and I could go, where could we go? We could go halfway, most of the way across the country.
Yeah, right. It'd be like, all right, I'm riding my bike from here to New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I ended up in Arizona.
What have I done? What hath right. I done? Anyway, just best of luck to that guy, and may he ever reign as the most off-course China man ever. Let's take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We got a Therapy Thursday question that she got, and we're going to answer right here on the show. We're running into this problem lately where I'll find what I think is a good question. I'll present it to Wendy, and she'll say, we just did that exact topic like 4 weeks ago. And it's a different person, but with the same problem.
Right.
And I don't remember those very well, and so... If any of you are sending something in that we've already covered a lot, that and we don't play it, sometimes that's the reason, is because it's already been covered in some other way. So go back and check those out.
So go back a few episodes and you might hear that very same question from somebody else.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All right. So we're going to do that. That's all coming up. But before that, we got music and Brian will play it. So what do you got there?
Sure. Well, I haven't played any modern punk rock on Indie in the Middle in a while, so let's do that. So this is a band called Shortcoming. Well, originally it was a trio, right? It was a band that was all into punk rock as well as skateboarding. They recorded a few EPs. They played some shows in Pennsylvania at the King of Prussia area in Pennsylvania. I always loved that city name, King of Prussia.
Yeah, it's cool.
They definitely had that... Blink 182, maybe a little bit of Green Day, Sum 41 kind of sound to them. Mm-hmm. That was back in 2001. They have since broken up, but one guy from the band, Jeff Franchi, has decided to resurrect the band as a solo project. So Jeff Franchi plays drums, guitar, bass, keyboards, and of course vocals. Has recorded this all himself. Sounds great stuff. He's actually written about 10 albums worth of material, so he's hoping to release all this stuff at some point. But he's got a full-time job, and he's an indie artist. He's got to find time to do his passion and turn it into his full-time job. This is from his album By Definition. Here is Shortcoming and Can't Go On.
We'll be right back. they're no good. You've given me your word time and time again to give them up.
I'll call them back. I'll call them all back. You can't tell me what to do.
The Morning Stream. It's got chutzpah.
I don't remember what that mm-hmm's from, but I'm sure enjoying it. Hey, we're back, everybody.
Sounds like a sped up version of
Oh, that thing just makes me feel good to hear it. Here it is again. Let's listen to it now. Here you go.
Thank you, Ving Rhames.
A lot of people in the chat think that all the punk rock sounds the same in the world. And I would say that's part of the appeal, isn't it? Isn't it supposed to all sound kind of like we're sticking it to the man and raging against the machine, you know? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, but are they raging against the machine? Or are they raging against their parents' curfew? Like the Clash and the Ramones, you know, they seem like they were bucking the system, and even Jello Biafra, and you know, all these classic punk rockers. That's why I use the term modern punk rock versus regular punk rock.
Yeah. It's not quite the same, is it? It's raging against, I don't want to take the SATs this weekend.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, I think we should call Wendy and see if we can help somebody today. I'm all about helping people.
Yeah, totally.
On this, the week of my great suspension, I'm interested in helping someone, which I think would be a great thing at this point. Let's see, we're going to
add her. I like the people, by the way, using hashtag Free Scott.
Oh, is that still happening?
At least it was happening on YouTube.
I neither deny or endorse such action. I think it's fine.
Oh, dang it. I was going to refill my coffee during that song.
Breaking Bad seasons 1 and 2. What? Or comedy? Oh, no, they weren't, Daryl.
Yeah.
Daryl says that seasons 1 and 2 of Breaking Bad were comedy. I disagree.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi. It's my sister, Wendy, everybody. What's going on? What are you doing?
Hi, I'm in the car.
Oh, all right. Out running around,
but
doing
I'm
things.
I'm almost home. What? So let's. If it doesn't work, I'll hang up and you can stall for a minute. But I think we're okay.
Yeah, you sound fine. Yeah. With the kids, doing some kid running. What are you doing there?
Oh, that's all I do. Kid run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam's out of town, so I don't have any. Backup. No backup.
He's in California for a couple of weeks, right, or something.
He is so many weeks.
So, so here's the deal. Somebody called me or emailed me and said, hey, I've got some stuff I want to give Wendy. I said, oh, that's cool. She goes, should I send it directly or should I send them to you? And I said, oh, I don't know. Let's think about this for a second. And then somehow they found out, because someone works with somebody or something, that Adam was going to be there. And now it's just going to go to California. He's picking it up and then he's bringing it to you. So,
oh, nice. Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. I don't know what it is or what it's for, but there it is.
I'm glad you bring that up.
It's a game.
Oh, it's a game. All right.
No. Yeah. He emailed me and then I told him. It wasn't like there was some secret.
Oh, okay. So you were the one. You were the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I didn't know who talked to who, but that's great.
They hunted him down. No, yeah. So he will. Right. It's just a lot cheaper and faster to do it that way. Because here it takes a while and it's really expensive.
Brian, what were you saying? You were saying something.
Well, that brings up a good question. Wendy, have you received a bar of chocolate yet?
Oh.
Yes, I have it. In fact, it's been torturing me because we forgot last week. It's been sitting in my house for 2 weeks and I'm dying. So
yeah.
But you're not in your house, so.
I'll get there.
Yeah, when you get back, we could totally do it today, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So been wanting to eat this since November 23rd when it was originally sent.
I've been wanting you guys to eat it since I accidentally ate mine. So.
From Littleton, which is like 4 miles away. This thing traveled 4 miles to get to me on November 23rd, and it's been sitting here looking at it for months.
Yeah, well, it'll all work out in the end. It'll be fine.
I'm sorry. It looks awesome. I'm excited.
So Wendy, it's always good to have you on. Wendy is a therapist. Everybody, she comes on the show and helps real people with real problems. And this week, the email we got was from you, and you weren't here to hear this, but I just had told people, hey, if you send an email that's a lot about like a thing that we've already talked about, that might be why you don't hear your emails get answered necessarily, because what we'll run into sometimes is we'll do a show about somebody getting a divorce or whatever, and then we'll get an email from somebody with almost the exact same question, and we don't necessarily hit those twice. So the archives are there for you to go listen to those. We usually are looking for something that's, you know, not the same thing every time. So Wendy found one. It's a good one, and they're all good. I mean, you know, I don't want to say some aren't good. But this one's interesting. I hear the road. That sounds cool. Where are you driving? Where is this?
Yeah. I'm in a Lamborghini.
No way.
No. Abe was just wishing I could drive all four of them somewhere in a Lamborghini.
Really?
So when you hear a road in a Lamborghini, it sounds cool, but you just hear a road in a piece of crap minivan.
Yeah, it's just a van. Look at you minivanning in Sweden. That's amazing.
Listen, don't talk about it. It's like the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
And they're on the right side or left side of the road now still? I don't remember.
They're on the right.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the one day they all switched?
Yeah, and there was a bunch of accidents and it was a big mess in like 19.
No, there wasn't because it's Sweden, dude.
No, hey, I read stuff. It was all kinds of a mess that day. I heard they had all kinds of issues. Of course you would. No. That's a big change, man.
It is, but it was on like a Sunday. Like no one even drove for... In fact, I talked to people who remember it, and they're like, my mom didn't drive for a long time because she was scared.
She was scared of driving? That's funny. Yeah,
that would be really freaky.
Carter would fit right in. All right, here's your question. This is from somebody we'll just call S. I don't know if we're able to use their name or not.
Yeah.
Hi, Wendy. I recently have been told my housing situation is going to have to change in 2 months, while at the same time I'm struggling to make ends meet. He spelled it meat like the food, not meat like the meat. That's fine. It's okay. It just made me laugh. This combined with steep sleep deprivation and stagnant relationships has led me to a super dark place where I am risking losing my job due to breakdowns at work. This has sent me on an inward quest to find and figure out why bad stuff keeps happening to me and why it seems like I never catch a break. And all I come up with is that when I was 18, I got into a serious student debt problem, $120,000 by now with interest, he says. And that has ruined my credit ever since, meaning I will never have a good job or even my own place. I haven't been, or I have been renting rooms since I was 18. I'm 28 now, so that's 10 years later. And it seems like my suicidal thoughts stem from me deciding that I ruined my entire life's hope back when I was 18 and that ever since it's been a struggle to survive. So my question to you is, how do I cope or rationalize the feelings I've doomed myself, or that I'm a terrible person who doesn't deserve to live because I am just a burden on others? There's a little bit of background here. I'm 28 with a girlfriend of 4 years, no kids, only make $11 an hour full-time in California, meaning I am right on the poverty line and can barely afford a room. My girlfriend doesn't want to marry me, though. And I haven't asked her.
Although I've asked,
sorry. And I have no family near me. Thanks for all you do, Wendy. S. So, S is not short for Scott. Everybody knock it off. I know you like to play that game. I don't even know where to start with this. This feels like he's in a bummer rut. And he's also at that age where, at least when I was 28, I was like, oh my gosh, 30 is looming. Oh no, it's the biggest moment of everyone's life. And then you realize, oh no, people who are 30 are children still. So, where do you start? What do you do?
Right. Well, I think that we need to have a mini conversation on student debt. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Let's talk about student debt. It's a happy place to be. It's a student.
That
debt.
Is a happy place. Yeah. It's really unfortunate, right? It's really, and you know, it's probably more than just obviously tuition and books and stuff, unless he went to Yale or somewhere crazy. But likely it was living.
Right.
Stuff
exactly.
As well.
It's probably food and necessities and
what
things like that.
Go
while
to college
he was a
when
student.
No one else is footing the bill. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is, I think for obviously 10 years or more, there has been just the norm that it is what you do. Mm-hmm. You just take out all this debt. I mean, I'm sure we could just say, hey, everyone, send your student loan horror stories in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get a degree in English and it costs you $100,000, but you can't get a job paying anywhere what you need to pay it back. And what do you do? And, you know, So it sounds like there's a, you know, and then we could talk about some programs that are not really legit and have taken a lot of money from people. I won't say the names of them, but they exist anyway. And you know, a lot of schools like that are supposed to prepare you for some wonderful thing and make a lot of promises, but don't deliver. And then, you know, you've just chucked a ton of money. So that, starting there. So here, and the reason I'm bringing that up is there's a institutional sort of experience there that is culturally sort of normative for a generation of people who got to go to school. I got to get, you know, this is how you get a good job. I've been promised all this stuff. And the reality of a $40,000 a year tuition school, housing, books, food is an astronomical amount of money.
Yeah,
right?
It's enormous.
Now I'm parking. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I like it, though. What's that weird sound?
Heard your turn signal.
Ooh, that's a weird sound.
Yeah, don't you have this in your really crappy old minivans?
No.
This is when you back up, it's telling you how close you are to what you're going to hit.
Yeah.
Don't you have these in your crappy old minivans?
Everyone's got them.
I have a feeling when you come here to visit this summer, we're going to have stories about your minivan, I'm thinking.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell you right now, this is horrible. This is so trashy, but it's funny. The bottom, like the floor in the driver and passenger seat. Oh, Pete, say hi.
Oh, hey, Pete. Yeah. What's going on, Pete?
Are sopping wet all winter.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. Just so the car will smell like a bum, you know? When it is great. I love that thing. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so what I was saying is I'm bringing that up to sort of point out the reality for a lot of people, but you notice his take on it is that it's very personal, right? Like I'm the one who doomed my life. I have screwed up any chance of success and
right.
But there is something else going on there that is not just simply him. And so I do that for a reason, because our thinking sometimes can get really dark.
Yeah.
When we are all bad, we have done all the mistakes. Now, the reality is he did spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry, buddy. We're leaving him behind.
Does he got a pee? Is that his?
Little man. Yeah. No, he's fine.
He's just walking.
Anyway, so so there's that first thing. Okay. Second of all, I mean, you look at all the various factors of his life.
Yeah.
Trouble with work, trouble with housing, trouble with a relationship that's maybe not the best.
Yeah.
So it's added up. So I have a question. What when you guys read this and when you think about this, that was the door. What's your first thought to say to this guy?
Well, I mean, look, so
get
somebody,
out of California.
So somebody in the chat room is being a little bit of a poop about it, but I think it's an important distinction to make real quick about this. The idea that people who pay that tuition and go to school and have that now hanging over their head are somehow victims, or making themselves into victims when it's their choice. They get to choose what they want to do or whatever. I think the point he's missing, and maybe the point that we just need to help hammer home, is we absolutely have lived in a society where the sales job has been, if you don't go to a reputable four-year college, at least, you are not going to be able to get a good job in this country, period.
Yeah.
That's the narrative. And so if that's the narrative, you make choices based on that narrative. And while they're there, while they're your choices and you have to be accountable for your own choices, some of those choices are made under potentially false pretenses. So I think that's the only point you were trying to make with that. It's not like everybody's forced to go to school, incur a bunch of debt, and then be crybabies that now they have debt. I don't think that's the point. The point is,
no,
you live in a system. No, he's not saying that at all.
Yeah. He's in fact saying, maybe it's not worth living because I have screwed up so royally.
Yeah.
I'm paying the price forever for this. I don't hear him saying, someone bail me out. This isn't my fault. He doesn't mention any of that.
Yeah, he's not saying that at all. So I think the person in the chat room may have a bit of an agenda going on, but it's fine.
Well,
it's fine.
Or that their experience has been talking to someone in that category, right?
Sure.
But here's the thing. We are expecting 18-year-olds to know about this and know better when their parents don't know better or when they're promising. How are they supposed to?
Right.
I mean, that's just it. There's nothing sort of built in that. Well, let's just back up. There isn't basic financial education anywhere.
Yeah.
So that these kids don't know how to manage a credit card, but then they're told, well, here's this and this and this. And that's, I mean, we're just dumb when we're young, right? So that's kind of my thing with that, is like the fact that there's predatory lending about a lot of things is dangerous for dumb people.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Or people who...
There should be a class in high school too. I'm hearing weird echo on myself again. But there should be a class in high school that teaches you how to manage your money, you know, what the deal is with credit cards, and show you on a graph like, all right, well, let's say you do take out $5,000 now to buy yourself that cool new skateboard computer and 4K TV that you want. Mm-hmm. Here's what that money is going to be in a year, how much you're going to owe on that if you just pay the minimums. Here's what you're going to owe in 10 years. And having kids understand that, learning that stuff in high school, because you're right. A lot of times it's the parents aren't teaching their kids smart money moves because maybe they're not making them themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I agree. I remember, though, like junior year or something, a very small, like we call them units, I guess, but like in some civics class or something, there was like a week where there were assignments dealing with like managing a checkbook and what do banks do and how is our interest earned and those sort of things. But it was really small and really light and not reinforced and not followed up on and kind of just throwaway homework and no big deal. So I think what you're saying is it's not so much that schools don't have something in the curriculum. It's that it's just not, I don't know if the word valued right, but
it's not thorough enough. It shouldn't even be elective. It should be like, you know, this year I have to take an English class, I have to take a math class, and I have to take a learning about life. You know, it could be 95% learning how credit cards and mortgages and stuff like that works and 5% learning how to iron a shirt.
Yeah. Like, no, I would have liked
need to know in life.
Yeah. I would have liked one totally. Of my, you know, have to take classes at, like a basic finance class. That would have been mm-hmm. great. Would I would have really used that.
Crucial.
Yeah.
It would help
so
me
I, sure. I'm not sure yeah. what you're familiar with. I mean, did your kids have these? Because I don't think it's at least federally not happening in many, many, many places.
Nope. Mm-hmm. We did it. We had to do it. Like my kids are good about this stuff. They save, they don't get into debt. My oldest, who's now out and married and living with, you know, all the things that responsibilities give you, she's doing that because we taught her. I don't think her school ever taught her any of that stuff.
No, right. Yeah, so here's the problem. When the system is basically like parents should teach their kids, and there's a lot of parents who have second mortgages and lots of debt and having to, you know, they're having to take out debt to put their kids through some portion of school. So there's a lot of challenges, and this is the challenge middle class wise, right? Or various places around middle class where it's not lap luxury going on. It's usually you're sort of in debt to live the lifestyle you're at, but no one's been taught. And then lots of new financial crap comes out and et cetera, et cetera. So when I said earlier that these sort of predatory lending sometimes occurs with dumb people, I mean 18-year-olds. They are all dumb and they should be, because why would they know otherwise? First of all, their schools didn't teach them. Their parents probably didn't teach them. And they're starting in this place where they're just having a blast or they're not focusing or whatever. And they shouldn't be making a decision that they'll be $100,000 in debt at the end of, right? So how would they know otherwise? And that's the thing that I'm giving him this excuse. So chat room person, this is my excuse for him. That's not his own excuse. So let's get back to his stuff though. He can't let go of that as being the core of all of his problems,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like it just rattles around in his head. And whenever something frustrating is happening, that, you know, it goes back to that moment, and that has all this power to sort of drag him down. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the core challenge, right? I mean, he's paying for that, financially over time. This is causing distress, and yet it's actually the thing also holding him back. Right. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with something you cannot get out of your head? Like maybe it's a regret. Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's a relationship you ended or one you never started, or like this thing that just becomes like a monster.
It's funny because religion has a method to this, like for thousands of years. The solution has been you have something weighing heavily on your mind and you go to confession if you're Catholic, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Whatever your method is, you get it off your chest, you resolve to not do it again, and you sort of move forward. Sort of civically or you know, in the world outside of that, I don't feel like we have too many mechanisms like that. Things seem to just sort of hang on and haunt you for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the phrase is admitting is the first step in the problem, or admitting is the first step in the solution of the problem. And I think that's that if you don't have the religion path to take you down, then yeah, I mean, the first step is to be, all right, let me put down on paper exactly how much I owe. Let me figure out what my plan is. Number one, maybe moving out of a very expensive state to live in and finding a job somewhere in a neighboring state and moving there and kind of rebuilding from there where your entire paycheck isn't going to living in one room, in an apartment or a loft or something. Right. And making a plan to say, okay, I can put aside this much towards that every month, and just sticking to it. That's the hardest part, is sticking to it.
But sure.
Analyzing it and identifying what that is, rather than saying, oh my God, I owe so much money, I don't even want to look at the amount that I owe. But taking a look at what that amount is and having it on paper in front of you,
yeah,
is like that confession. It's like that admission of, all right, here's the
You have to look at it in the eye. Like, we did this when Kim and I first got married, probably in the first 4 years or so. We mm-hmm. had somehow, and I honestly do not, I couldn't tell you how we did it, but somehow we had $16,000 in credit card debt.
Dude,
I
see,
know.
That's it. That
I
was
know.
From your weak unit of financial education.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just had a terrible time with it. And we looked at that number and went, how did we get here? But part of the process was seeing the number and realizing, mm-hmm. all right, and we knew what we had to do. We didn't expect to bail out. We didn't go asking for anyone's help. We didn't do any of that. We buckled down. We trimmed everything back. We quit putting things on credit. And we paid that thing off, and we were dedicated to paying it off. And we have never done that again. Like, in our entire marriage, not once have we ever been in any sort of debt outside, hey, we owe a house payment, and hey, we have a car we got to pay for. And that's it. So it really had that effect on me. What Brian's saying is right. You look that thing in the eye, and it's hard, because it mm-hmm. is easier to just go, no, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to do the bills. I don't want to pay attention to it. We'll just pay the minimum, and we'll worry about it next month. It's so easy to do that. But when you look into the eye of the beast, and then the beast blinks, then you can have a plan, and then you can start working your way back and clawing your way back, and then you have power. Like, even if you're in debt, you have power. There we were, $16,000 in debt on credit cards, which is the stupidest place to ever have debt. Mm-hmm. And we suddenly felt empowered, because we were going to take it by the horns and take it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as you start identifying and saying, here's what we're going to do to take care of that, It totally is an empowering feeling. I remember I would have loved to have just had $16,000 in credit card debt way back in 2007, by the way, or 2008 after that. The Coverville concert thing that was a complete.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Vegas money. I'm telling you.
Yeah. It was the union guys. I'm trying to think of the names, but the union guys we had to pay to rearrange the stage twice.
Yeah, it's awful.
What a crapper. Yeah. But anyway, it's totally true. Once you establish that path of saying, yeah, here's how we're going to take care of it, even if it's a little bit at a time until you can kind of get one down, and you know, maybe you've got this on two or three cards, get the one with the highest interest rate down first, work on that one. Or if it's a student loan, you know, that sort of thing. But once you do start taking care of it, you feel so much better instantly. It's not even like, oh, I'm going to feel so good when this is paid off. No, you feel better instantly.
Yeah, you do. And then you're committed, and then you do it and you follow through. And now the credit cards are my slaves, because I say
they pay you.
Yeah, they pay what they kind of do, because I get points and other stuff, and we never have a carryover balance. So we're using them for all of their wonderful convenience, their quick swipes here and there. Got to get this thing online. Great, here it comes. And then we say, ah, you think you're getting me for 18%, do you? Nay, I'm paying it off before I even get the thing. You know, like, it's a really powerful feeling.
And they act like they like you and you're a loyal customer, but really they're like, damn them.
They don't like us. They're waiting. They're waiting for us to screw up. They're waiting for us to foul this up again. And we have a record of it. And now, you know, we were never defaulted on anything, so our credit is pretty much perfect. But, you know, don't get yourself into that mindset that it's so big you're never going to get out from under it, because it is possible. But in his case, I mean, we're not talking about, this definitely isn't a question about what are the ins and outs of financial this and that. It's more like, how do we get him in the right brain space?
Right. And my guess is the stress that oozes out of this email, right? That he is worried about this and his support system's real small. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, that's the other vibe I get. I mean, I don't know for sure, but you know, you got a girlfriend who won't marry you and you've got no family around and you're stressed out, you're gonna lose your job and there's maybe not a lot of support to be had. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one thing to sit down with a supportive partner and say, hey, let's work this out together. And hey, I got people I know who've done this before, or hey, I have the wherewithal to reach out for resources. And it's another, you know, that you're kind of drowning. And that's the hardest part, is when we are stressed all the time about something. And that's the thing about debt, is that it's a permanent monkey on your back. Mm-hmm. And it does take a toll, right? So he's had 10 years of, you know, having this thing over him that makes him feel like a failure. And at some point you believe it, right? Like your mind plays tricks on you. And I always tell people, like, when your thoughts are left between your head, they're dangerous there, because they're not checked by reality. They're not checked by someone who knows you better. They're not checked by, they're just there to go crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it's not a person you share them with, write them out. You know, ask your girlfriend, hey, can we sit down and just stare the beast in the eye for a minute and see where things really are? And maybe Wyoming is our dream place to live because it's cheaper. I don't know, right? Like, I just remember reading a story about the average income of the people in a homeless shelter mm-hmm. near San Francisco. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They were making like $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. And so, you know, maybe there's some other thing, and, you know, but again, doing all this takes some confidence, and this has been chipped away for years for him. And that's really the concern. Mm-hmm. So one of my thoughts too is also, and I don't know about California specifically, but I think most states have a Department of Workforce Services who are, their whole existence is to help train people in improving their skills and access to jobs. They have access to job listings that aren't just your regular internet ones, and their contacts. And, you know, so doing this alone is the thing that is, I think, the most dangerous. And that's my sense, is he's doing this alone.
Yeah.
So get some professional, you know, job help stuff that should be available in your community, unless you live in a tiny, tiny town. But even then,
is it kind of a bummer that he's with the same girlfriend who turned him down when he asked her to get married?
Yeah. That's also kind of a red flag of like, what deserve level do you have? Right. Do you feel like you deserve a better life than this? And not deserve as entitlement, all y'all in the tadpool.
Well, that's just that one guy. Everyone else.
I'm just kidding. But not entitlement, but deserve. Like, I deserve a decent life. I deserve working full time, a living wage, and, you know, the ability to buy some food that's healthy. Like, that is some basic stuff. And, you know, if you don't, not sure you deserve any of that good stuff, and you don't deserve a girlfriend who will marry you after 4 years, or you don't deserve to live anywhere but a room.
We're making an assumption that she's turning him down because of him. I mean, she might not be ready to get married, or she might not be in a place where
Yeah,
she
it could
like
be a bunch of reasons. So we don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to pile on to this poor guy. It might be a whole different situation.
Sure.
With the,
right. It totally could. Girlfriend. It totally could. Yeah. But pretend, let's say it is what we assumed. Which is that it's like one more in his life, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah,
because that's kind of how he's listing things like that. You can really get in that negative headspace.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. One more is a good way to put it. Like, like that. That's what it. Even if the reasons are varied and unique and whatever nuanced a thousand different ways, it's still a thing he marks as he's seeing that as one of the failure marks on his list.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, right. Which builds the image of himself to a certain thing. And you know, he can see where it stems from. It stems from all this debt and sort of that crushing, these decisions that have been weighing on him for 10 years. And that starts to bleed into other parts of your life. So here's a perfect example. Today, Elliot, I pick him up from school and he says, and Elliot is Eeyore, okay? And he says to me, I was really sad today. I misspelled a word and my teacher looked at me and I started crying. Like, she had some face. I'm like, maybe that's just her face. Anyway, he'd actually spelled it right, but she didn't respond as if he'd spelled it right. So it got him really
bitchy
sad.
Teaching face?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
BTF?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she probably was just kind of half listening. Anyway. So then he like felt really bad. Then a kid had built a really cool spaceship out of Legos and he had dropped it and it broke.
Yes.
And so he felt really bad. And then he ran into a pole and like hurt his arm. Mm. And so he's listing all these things. And so I was like, okay, so let's draw pie charts. We draw the pie chart. I'm like, okay, give me every piece that felt really bad. And we write it in. And by the time he's only got three. So it's not even a quarter of the day. And then we start filling in all the good stuff that happened or neutral stuff. And what happens in the brain, and of course, when you're little, it's very, really clear cut. Like that's a almost impossible thing for him to do on his own just because the way he's wired. And so when he shows him, he looks at the pie chart and he goes, well, they really felt like they took over everything. And I'm like, yeah, but let's look, so I kind of just showed him, here's the evidence of what's really going on, because negativity has this incredible power to just infuse itself all over. So if you're listening and you're like, oh yeah, and you're cynical or you're really skeptical when people say stuff, or you generally sort of take the negative version of something, some of that may be your set point. Some of that may be as you're aging, you're just a little less optimistic about things. Mm-hmm. But there is this thing that we do to protect ourselves, actually, is to filter in the negative and make sure we're protected. But it can get haywire, and then everything is negative. And that is really hard to overcome when you've got big obstacles ahead of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people, imagine you're running on a treadmill, and someone is standing next to you yelling at you that you're worthless, your feet are weird, and that when you sweat funny and you don't smell good, and why are you're so slow.
You make an eat noise every time you take a step.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear your pants swishing between your thighs or whatever.
I hope like those are your pants.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, exactly. You could just destroy someone, right? But that is the negative voice, like the inner critic or the negative filtering kind of voice. It really is sort of this relentless self-talk. And it sounds like for him, the relentless self-talk ultimately stems back to this thing. And so that beast has to be stared at and sort of addressed. So getting someone who knows what they're doing to help you. There are voluntary organizations. If it's student loans or some other version of a loan, this is so hard. You call directly to whoever wants your money and say, or it is their money you borrowed, and say, I need help. I need help with this. Can you help me do this? I need to sit down with someone. And that is so difficult, right? And to admit, first of all, that that's where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
But the relief that can come from that, the help that can come from that. There's so much to be done to help you with this, but you can't keep doing it alone. That is my sense. He doesn't say that or not, but I'm guessing that's happening. And one other thing, I have had many, many couples come to see me who money is a problem, and in various forms. One couple could not even speak at all about it. And can you imagine being married for many years and never speaking even the word money?
Jeez.
Keep out of a lot of fights that way, since that's kind of one of the trigger words for
or you're building up to the ultimate fight at some point. It's going to pop.
Yeah. Exactly. So I have everyone do the same thing, but I'll tell you. And then I had another couple in. They came in and they seemed great. And the husband's like, yeah, this will be great. We'll just improve our skills. And that's great. And then the wife, I think I've told you this before, the wife just looked at me and said, worth $70,000 in credit card debt.
Oh, yeah. It hurt me. Yeah. We haven't talked about this one.
She walked out of the room and he was like, that was asking for help in a weird way, but.
So he didn't know, right? The deal was he didn't know.
He had no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea. And the reality is he's like, we got plenty of money in the bank. Like, we're doing fine. But he just had no idea she had a problem, right? So then what we do with them, and we did with the other couples, and I do with all these folks, is we start so basic. Once a week for 15 minutes, they have to talk about money. And most people, I have them start by listening to someone else talk about money because they don't know how yet, right?
Yeah.
So they listen to a Dave Ramsey financial piece, like a tape or something, right? That just does a basic of something.
Yeah.
Then they don't talk about it again. Next week, 15 minutes on a Sunday afternoon, 15 more minutes of financial conversation. Mm-hmm. And eventually they bring out their own budgets and their own beast and they look it in the eye.
Mm.
So this one couple just, and debt a mess, couldn't talk about money, within 6 months was debt free. Yeah. And it was like, guys, wow. It's so simple, but it's so hard. Mm. It's so hard, but to baby step
that
into it also
confession.
Works.
Yeah. The first step is the worst. Like even our $16,000 moment took so much quicker to get done than we thought. We thought, oh, this means years of paying this back. And it was over in like a, you know, we maybe spread it out to maybe be 12 months, but we just did it. And that's how easy it can be. You just don't know it because you're not ready to face it yet. Ugh. Freaking
right.
Debt,
and
dude.
It's, and you know, you're making $11 an hour in California. You're not paying back that $120. That's not happening right now.
Yeah.
But a reality check with someone who can help you understand what to do and how to get, you know, even if bankruptcy is the thing you need to do, you just need someone who can give you information, can be supportive, that isn't wrapped up in any of the emotion of it. Because this is really tough for couples to do because they're both really wrapped up in it, right? Because it's affecting them and one's scared and the other one feels pressure and blah, blah, blah. You know, so the dynamic can be messy. But this is why these outside resources could be really, really powerful. And you're getting depressed and you're anxious and you're exhausted and you're suicidal. Mm-hmm. Like we are well past the point where you need help with this.
Yeah.
So that needs to be a really important thing. And maybe even some mental health help with this. And DWS is, or whatever you call it in California, workforce service people. They're also, you know, connected with other services, health and human services. So, you know, check into what is available at low cost or no cost for you in your community that where you can couple that with sort of financial counseling. I mean, these things exist for this very reason because he is not alone.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. And just, and you know, that's the number one thing here is it does feel like maybe you are, but you're not. In fact, you are as far from not alone in this regard as anyone could ever be. Like so many people are in debt. So many people have student debt and many, many, many of them are struggling with it. Not all of them suddenly graduated and walked into a six-figure income. It just doesn't work that way anymore anyway. All right. Well, there you go. Some fine help for this guy. Hopefully things work out. Let us know how things go for you. In the meantime, if you would like to submit your own questions to Wendy, therapythursdays.com has a direct connection there to let her know, and she can share them with us, and we'll bring them on the show and talk about them more. Also, it's a great place to visit if you're looking for good advice in a very a myriad of places. And we have been since about a year ago now, I think, maybe a little more, cutting out every single segment of this segment out of the show into its own file. And we haven't been giving it to people in a large way. Like we don't really have an easy way to say, oh, here's a whole catalog of Therapy Thursday segments. I think we can probably still figure out a way to do that and do it somewhat efficiently. But at some point we hope to have that as a thing people can go click through and say, oh, here's one on financial stuff. Here's one on staying married despite this or whatever. So we can start categorizing these things. So watch for that. That's coming sometime. And Wendy, Wendy's of course at Wendy Dunford on Instagram and again Therapy Thursdays. So you can go over there and check that out. Wendy, anything else you'd like to?
We need to eat chocolate.
Exactly. Oh, chocolate! Yeah.
Don't get rid of us so soon, there.
All right,
Johnson.
Get it out. Pull out your chocolate. Let's do this.
Do we have the same one?
No, right?
No, we have different ones. Thanks to Carl from Littleton. He goes by the name Blue Bottle in the Tadpool. I don't know if he's there today, but the one I have is Chocolate Therapist Blue Suede Shoes, which is chocolate, blueberries, and cashews.
Here's a theme for it, by the way. Here's a little theme.
What a delicious feeling. New Cocoa Pebbles.
Sure, tastes better than ever. Looks more chocolatey.
There you go. Looks more chocolatey. That's what I was looking for.
Looks more chocolatey.
Yeah.
So mine is extreme therapy, which is so appropriate right now for me. Thank you, everyone. Because my kids are making me crazy. 72% natural dark chocolate and organic cacao nibs.
Can we make a... I need to ask a question. I grew up, and still to this day, could never stand dark chocolate. It was always milk chocolate for me. You're of my DNA. Do you... where are you at with the dark versus milk?
Don't like it.
No. All right. There you
it's
go.
It's better for you. Dark chocolate.
However, better I haven't had any candy since January 1st, so I am super happy to eat dark chocolate right now. Because I feel like it's medicine or slash health food, right?
Yeah, sure it is. at some point when you haven't had it in that long. Wow, well done, by the way. That's a you're sticking to your goal there, except for now.
Well, let's be honest. I went and snuck a bunch of contraband in the house earlier, and I will eat it once the kids are asleep because I can't do it any longer.
Yeah, it's over.
Because we're all doing it as a family.
Yeah.
Don't tell them. They don't listen to the show.
Yeah, they don't have any idea. So it's fine. Yeah. It's totally fine.
And they
fine.
Don't know what it's like to have your husband gone for 2 weeks and take care of them. They
you got to have candy. Well, the rest of the world drinks a bottle of brandy. Wendy needs some lemon heads or something.
Swedish fish. Anyway. Okay, so
brandy
or
fine and dandy, but give me candy.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I'm not usually a fan. I'm usually a milk chocolate kind of person. Are you? That's what you are?
Yeah, totally me. Brian likes dark, though.
I do like dark.
Yeah, and Kim likes dark. Kim's big on the dark.
Somebody in the chat room best said it. Dark chocolate is for adults.
That is the absolute truth. Absolute truth.
Yeah, funny.
You know what I like? What? Circus peanuts.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
And I like lick 'em sticks. I like anything that makes you look like you're 7 years old.
Yeah. You like right. the Wendy likes those lick. Yeah, those sticks. You put them in the powder and the,
right.
the okay. stick
candy
is,
stick you dip in powder. Yes, right.
Yeah, and the stick itself is also candy. Like that's a way to live. I agree.
Do you know what actually excellent. My favorite is Boston baked beans. Does anyone know what I'm saying
love
here?
Boston baked beans. Oh, yeah. They're so good.
Oh, they're so good.
And we
but
don't mean
so
yeah.
what?
We don't mean the real beans. We mean like the fake candy beans, and they're so good. Right. But they're probably
I
the least
real Boston baked beans. They're not the same.
No, they're probably
those are beans.
Those are probably straight up beans. But yeah, these are not good for you, but they're great for you. Is how I look at it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and
so
this
how's it?
Okay. Should
excellent.
We eat it now? Ready
yeah,
right?
eat it. Brian's already eating it.
I'm already three squares in.
Yeah. Three pips.
Three pips.
It is really good.
In. Is it?
And I don't usually like dark.
Yeah.
But
is
I'm
it good?
Also desperate.
Well,
so
I can tell you the one I had, which was milk chocolate, I believe. And thank them for this, but I got weird and ate it early back in November, and it was amazing. It was I didn't know we could make good chocolate in America. Apparently, Littleton, Colorado is where you do it.
I know. I'm really impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a book called The Chocolate Therapist, written by Julie Petch or something, and it's all about the idea is that. The glycemic index, right? That shoots up when you eat sugar, and you need to keep it balanced. And that's what dark chocolate is good for, right? It keeps you like an adult would, just normal levels.
Yeah,
this is really tasty, though.
I'm looking at their website. It's all brown like chocolate.
Oh yeah,
their what website's all brown.
Does it say RX on yours?
Yeah, it says chocolate RX, and then it says the chocolate therapist, all natural chocolate and gourmet coffee.
When were they make this? Because I know of a great candy shop in Georgetown. So this one is in Littleton, Colorado. This is in, this actually comes from Littleton, not just.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There's a local number and everything. Yeah, you can fax them. By the way, there's a fax number on this webpage.
Dang,
oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah, I better not show it to the
chat room. Real quick, all you Europeans, when Scott was talking about checks, that's this ancient form of money exchange they do in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you know where they still do it? In whatever line I'm in at the grocery store.
Let me tell you.
I actually still do checks.
I have not written a check like me writing it, probably years. Oh, and yeah. Kim, the only ones she ever writes are weird business ones where we don't have another way.
Right.
Like for example, transferring money to Brian. The best way for me to do it is a check and then take it to his bank because his bank prefers that over an electronic one.
Oh, really? God, I'm sorry.
No. It's no big deal. She goes down that way all the time, so it's not hard. But it's just funny because checks. As much as
hush money,
as much as it may still, it still be an American thing to do. You see it so rarely now.
Pay up, Scott, or I'm releasing that looks like a Dumbo elephant photo to the world.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Well, all right then, chocolate done. We've
so
eaten
good.
It, Littleton, Colorado.
Thank you,
congratulations. Yeah.
Yes. Thank
if
you,
anyone
Carl.
Anyone happens
Carl.
To make Boston baked beans, please send them my way.
Yeah. And I'm glad.
No,
you,
this was really good.
I'm glad you said thank you, chocolate people, because no one will take that out of context. Have a great week, Wendy. Have fun, and all the white people in Sweden. We'll see you later. All right. We're done, Brian. We're done.
Very good.
Thank you for that, and I want more chocolate. Now I'm jealous that I ate mine early.
The chocolate isn't going to be the worst thing I eat today. Today is the day that the Taco Bell chicken, naked chicken chalupa thing comes out.
Oh, you're getting that today.
To- totally getting that for lunch.
All right, because
so I'll report back at on TMSPM on how that business is.
All right, sweet. Because we may end up bringing. I was thinking about John Jagger's doing the same today, and we were going to maybe bring him in. So maybe what we'll do is we'll get a point counterpoint from you and John Jagger today on who liked it. Because I'm probably not going to get one, but you two will, and we'll just take a moment together after four.
Perfect.
See how it goes. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you like the show and would like to support us, go over and over onto patreon.com/TMS, where even the lowest levels will get you access to the TMS Slack group, which is everybody who's a contributor to the show. Lots of activity in there. People really seem to like that. So be a part of that if you would like. And lots of other rewards as well. Check it out, patreon.com/TMS. It is literally how we fuel this show, and we appreciate everybody who helps us out. That's going to do it for the show. Head on over to frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. All our stuff is there. Contact details, Twitter accounts, all of it. We would recommend you do that. And let's get out of here with some music. You got a little something, right.
I do. Med the pirate in the chat room wrote in, said, this has been a very strange week. In no particular order, this morning I was doing my usual 10-mile commute on my bicycle through rural Devon, UK. Go Chiefs. As I was cycling along the last stretch, a small bird came alongside me. The bird looked right at my spokes and then looked straight again. It looked right one more time and I said out loud, "Don't do it, buddy." Before I could break, the little daredevil had died a hero, attempting the greatest stunt a bird ever tried. Sorry, Bob Patterson, probably should have warned you.
Yeah.
I slowed to a stop as safely as I could in the ice and went back to see if there was anything to be done. All I could do was remove it from the cycle path so it didn't get crushed by the next cyclist.
Aww.
Needless to say, I'm gutted now, and I feel some tribute should be paid to a life cut short by dreaming too big. If you... let's see. Recommended Freebird. We'll say we'll go ahead and stop from on that one.
All right.
Despite the trials I've faced, we're closer than ever. My family and I are closer than ever. I've started a promising career in programming and joined the Army Reserves, the second part of training for which starts next week. The rest of my siblings, father, brother-in-law, and niece are trying to heal and take Joe's example as a model for facing life. Oh, well, I guess Joe was his sister that...
Yeah, not the we're not it's the bird thing is all a separate thing, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. Right. And he said you don't need to read this next part, but then he followed it with part that referenced the part I didn't need to read.
Yeah.
You guys rule, Med the Pirate, Med to my friends, PS Yar.
Yar.
Okay, anyway. I apologize, that was a very poorly read and well written letter. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
So how about Freebird? But boy, every cover, every just straight up cover of Freebird I have is like 8 minutes long. So let's take Freebird, combine it with Stairway to Heaven, and somehow combining those two long songs makes a song that's about 2 minutes long. I don't know how it works, but Monty Montgomery does. He recorded this one live back in 2013. It's a cover of Led Zeppelin and Lynyrd Skynyrd, Stairway to Freebird, right here by Monty Montgomery.
Here it is, and we'll be back. Tonight, 3:30 p.m., come here for that if you would so desire. It'll be on the feed tomorrow for those at home. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you later.
All right, now you know what's happening next. This is where we combine Freebird with Stairway to Heaven. And we call it Stairway to Freebird. It's kind of a short and a little condensed version we do. So here we go, Stairway to Freebird, the condensed version. Never rehearsed.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.